On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It gets me in the mood for podcasting.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
Oh, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio.
Just do it!
What's going on, everybody?
You blew it!
The Tall Can Audio podcast. Matt over here. Rob over there.
Hey.
What are you saying, man?
Back in studio again.
Yeah.
Loving it.
It's a thing.
Loving it, man.
We're doing this
for
thing.
Sure. It's working for me over here.
Yeah.
It gets me in the mood.
Oh, dear.
For podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. For podcasting, nothing untoward. I don't want you to get the impression that there's nefarious things happening over here.
What do you got, man? As we steer away from the nefarious things.
I've got a double barrel action over here. Ooh, of a little finishing up some conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin Yeti, which is the just a regular India Pale. And I'm backing it up with my reliable old-timey friend from the big rig, the Bongo.
So he is
Rattler.
Back. There's been a couple of those sitting in the...
this is actually one of the ones
that's fresh.
No.
Oh.
It's a stray I found in the fridge in the green room. No, this is...
There's been two or three...
I didn't plan on drinking as many beers when I showed up here today.
Well, nobody ever does, man. That's how the show goes.
It's been 6 months, and so I'm out of practice.
Yeah. There's been two or three of Rob's pints sitting in the bottom, because I'm good like that, man.
He doesn't like them.
Yeah,
really,
it's true. If he'd left something good in there, I'd
it'd be gone.
It's true, man. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Make sure you check out the all new TallCanAudio.com.
Oh, it's so worth looking at, too. It's easy on the eyes, unlike the host of the show.
And if hosts.
Oh, sorry.
Fucker.
Hosts. You've spent all this time taking down big guests. This is really
taking bringing them down to our level.
I'm just happy to be here with Matt, who is a bit of a celeb these days.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you, man. We're all very proud of you. We are, really, truly.
One of my favorite albums in high school, Very Proud of You by AFI. Check that out. We'll share it at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/talk. Sure. Rob's not going to like it.
Yeah.
He doesn't like good 1998 punk rock.
Yeah, but is it pop punk?
It'd be straddling.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't mind a little punk. To me, that's Sex Pistols.
Okay.
I got time for
1978.
I got time for Ramones and the Clash.
I was digging just before you got here, a little Bonzo Goes to Bitburg.
Okay.
Not a bad little tune.
Not bad at all.
From the Ramones. Make sure you people check that out.
I want to be your boyfriend.
You're not really my type.
Yes.
It's nice of you to... Guess what? Audio is getting pasted on the front of this fucking episode.
Totally fine, man. Totally. Totally fine. That's a little Ramones action too, man.
Yes.
And how about while you're at it, throw in a little of the dastardly... I Want to Sit Next to You by AC/DC. That's a little classic 1974 Bon Scott. Dynamite. Not punk.
Nope.
But it is killer rock and roll.
Since you were too rude to ask, I'm having the stout beer from the Woodhouse Brewing Company out of...
Whose house? Woodhouse.
House? Out of Toronto. First time I've tried this one. It's kind of dry, which they say. It's a 4.7%. But it is the first time, A, that I've tried this stout, but B, I think that I've tried anything from the...
Have you cracked it?
Yeah. I'm about halfway through it, man.
All right. Sorry, I didn't ask.
I know. You were.
And how are you doing, Matt? How are you?
Yeah, things are good, Matt. Thanks. So that's the stout beer from the Woodhouse Brewing Company. It's dry. And they
what
say
does that mean,
that
man? What does that mean?
You know what it means. There's certain terms
I know,
that
but
are hard to frame, right? That you see, know what to, you know what it means to me?
Yeah,
is after a sip, I need another sip.
Oh, that sounds a good time, man. See, to me, you know, when you have that pint of Guinness. And to me,
that's not dry.
It's not dry.
No.
It's got that silky start, and it has that sort of slightly metallic finish.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? That, to me, is a good description of that. And I'm not always sure when they say it's dry. Like a dry, I get a dry white wine. I get that.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's hard to describe, and...
So in terms of a stout, I'm just asking for a little accountability.
All right. Well, ask the Woodhouse guys. Don't ask me, man.
Matt saying, when who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah. When we were doing these online, I could just kind of mute you for a bit and go back to what was going on.
But anyway. Here I am, larger than life.
Yes.
Bam, right on the other side of the plastic.
Beautiful.
Bam, gorgeous.
All right, let's reel it in. I think beautiful was enough.
All right.
A couple things we want to... Why don't we...
I prefer lovely or handsome.
Well, you're not getting there. It's not magic glass between us.
It's not circus glass, you fucking fool.
Funhouse mirrors.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. Svelte.
If you haven't had a chance, make sure you go back and check out recently had Paul Romanuk on the podcast.
Oh, Paul Romanuk.
A voice that most of you will remember from all kinds of sports, in all kinds of events.
Certainly. The Drive for Five. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Is alive?
Has arrived.
Has arrived.
I think. did some Blue Jays, did some NHL, did some Raptors.
Did some KHL.
Olympics, Paralympics, KHL. Guy has done it all. Dalcanaudio.com or wherever you're listening to this, you can just scroll back a little bit, find that one. Happy to have Paul Romanuk on the show. Make sure you stick around because we've always got more, man.
Matt may have a couple other things in the hopper.
Yes. Let's talk a little about the Frank Saravalli article from last week on TSN.ca that suggested the NHL is destitute. Something like...
Not quite the CFL.
No.
But somewhere out there.
17 teams, I believe he said, had...
He did say.
Cut back paying management types, coaches, general managers, scouts, your office type people. 17 of 30 teams thus far have gone ahead and done that.
It's nay small, Matt.
I'm a little surprised... More of the teams that hadn't weren't from Canada. Like, to me, Montreal shouldn't be on the list of teams who've already cut salary.
Six of the seven Canadian teams have.
Yeah, and I hesitated to bring it because you're going to be a douche about it. But Toronto is the only Canadian team that thus far has not cut.
Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah. And if you're going to scream all the time that you're the richest team in the league, then that's the cross you bear. You better keep paying people. We'll see. I assume at this point, if the season were to start on time, Boxing Day, January 1st, whatever, Toronto will make it. If it gets pushed back further, maybe they cut back too. I don't know, but that's going to be a bad look for them. I am surprised, though, that there are 13, I guess 14 teams in the league that haven't done it, that only one of those teams is Canadian, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, and I think it's, and I wasn't, to me, it's in no way, I wasn't pointing out Toronto as the one team who didn't. I was just saying,
yeah,
it is a. I am not surprised. A bit surprised, I think, by the Montreal. Not the rest. To me, the rest are. I'm not sure. I haven't cracked Vancouver's books in a while. But
Vancouver would be the only other one I would expect to maybe.
But the other ones are Ottawa, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton are smaller market teams. I can't speak to ownership, right? Like, you know, in terms of Rexall and what's happening there. But those are smaller markets.
Yep.
And so you look at, you know, notorious cheapskates like Chicago and Boston, right?
Gross, man.
But they are.
But original six teams
that are selling out their building all the time.
Pay up, fuckers.
Yeah, and this to me is where I'm at. You played 85% of your season.
Yep.
The revenues you have are the revenues you would have at this point.
Yep.
So it is. It does strike me as a bit of a, you know. Hey, what are you doing there?
Did you get a full list? I don't know if he ended up posting it.
He didn't post a full list.
I got to assume the ones still playing haven't cut back, right? Like Vegas, probably still paying. And Vegas as well. Like Foley is well known.
I thought he mentioned
Dallas.
I thought Dallas was an organization.
That wouldn't shock me, I guess. Tampa is very well off.
Right.
The Islanders, they have a couple of guys who are building a brand new building, seems like, in terms of stable ownership. Well, I don't know where those final four.
But you look at the guys who the ownership of, they're the same people that own Moxie's.
Yes.
And a couple of other retail sort of places.
Can't wait for the Moxie Center.
Yeah, but those people are, exactly. With the wait staff, I'm sure, will be outstanding. But yeah,
should we blame them? Like, this is the anybody who's had to cut. First of all, let's absolutely blame Ottawa. Who
are you cost cutting now for the future, or are you? Because in a lot of places they were cost cutting as of March.
Yeah,
right. Well, and then reinstating when camps opened in July.
Right. And let's get it out of the way. Ottawa apparently sliced deeper than anybody, and the league stepped in and said. And they didn't clarify, did the league step in and help pay, or did the league step in and tell Eugene, hey, go fuck yourself and pay these people a little bit more? Because they had gone down like 50%, where everyone else was closer to 25.
20. 20 was the vast majority. Yeah. There was a couple in the 30 range.
Right.
But 30 was the highest. Ottawa went 50.
And Ottawa was already well known to be paying less. For the people that they had.
And having less people.
And so the league stepped in. To me, they didn't clarify very well whether the league stepped in to help pay them or just insisted that Eugene pay them.
That's the overriding message in this whole podcast will be, we're unclear.
Yeah.
Because as the show unfolds, you'll see what I mean.
Right.
But you're right. But I think at the end of the day, I looked at it and went, Ottawa is suggesting, 100% more than anybody else.
Yeah. Is it unreasonable for these teams to be pulling back? And I can't remember, was it Washington where they said that the coaches took more of a cut so that other staff wouldn't get fired? Like, we'll take an extra 5 or 10%. Don't lay off the scouts.
Yeah, see, I thought it was Boston.
It might be Boston. I can't remember.
Because they said the first cuts in Boston were that they asked that the coaching staff would not playoff bonuses.
That's right.
And I think prior to that.
And they said.
The coaching staff
said. No, we're
going to
take them. And then they said, we're going to lay off other people.
And said no. Well,
I think that's right.
To me, the takeaway from the whole article was, if this is about preservation moving forward, I get it. You're trying to get your financial house in order because there's nothing going to happen here before the new year.
All right.
Right? Legitimately before any revenue streams are sort of opened, explored, right? So that can be the only thing because, as I've just said, you have all your revenue streams for the 1920 season
yes.
you have almost 90% of what you're going to get.
Well, I've said a dozen times it was going to be easier to finish this season in a bubble than start a new season.
Yeah, not happening.
6 months, 82 games per team.
So ticket-driven.
Yep.
So game day ticket-driven, yep. The NHL.
Yeah.
If you look at, to me, the takeaways from that article.
Which we will share in all the usual places.
Were Ottawa at 50%, double what anybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Which nobody who's listened or watched or read anything is surprised by. The other takeaway was the Buffalo Sabres.
Who'd already fired everybody.
Well, okay, but it said Frank Saravelli led the Buffalo bit with the only coaching staff to decline was the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
And saying, yeah, they already agreed to the hit up until July 13th.
Yeah.
And then since then have said, go fuck your hat.
Because
what are you going to do? You've already fired 22 people.
Right.
So the people that we were hoping to preserve.
So in theory, right, Boston says eventually, yeah, okay, we'll take our cut because we don't want to see anybody else get fired.
We want to keep scouts. We want to keep the business
side. The Buffalo coaching staff goes, you already fired all
we
those
are the
people.
Scouts. We are the business
right.
side. We are
so
the
So why the
fitness.
Fuck would we take a first? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
I don't blame them, man.
It's one of those things where you go, yeah, if you're going to fire Ralph Kruger at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's
Eichel
comfortable
will take
with it.
Over again.
Yeah, this is it. So that was my takeaway from the entire article, right, was those two things. Everybody else is trying to do their bit to preserve what will happen in the next 3 months.
What do you think, if anything, this stuff means on a free agency front, on the...
Oh.
You start looking at how many teams might cut costs, right? Be looking for guys who are making less in cash than their cap hit represents. Does that go up?
Yeah, you are about to see. You can talk about, and everybody's sort of fixated on the 81.5 static cap.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's looking at that and saying.
Look to the 60, folks.
Yeah, this is look to the 69.5 as people try to fight to that 70 million range, right?
Yeah.
I think once the cup is awarded,
yeah.
I think we're going to, the 2 months between. You know, the draft and whatever the season opening is, whether it's the December 1st, January 1st, whatever happens here,
yeah.
You're going to see some instant maneuvering. And I would hate to be a free agent at this point now, unless you are...
Petrangelo.
Petrangelo or of the Mark Borowiecki mix, right? The guy who's going to say...
Ooh, man. That's the guy who's going to get squeezed.
No, I'm
to me,
the guys who are going to make the 1.5.
He's making seven. He's making 700,000 this year.
I don't think so. I think that's where teams spend their money. There's only going to be so many big fish. There's only so many Petrangelos out there.
Oh yeah.
I think
he's not going to get to market. I don't think. But
yeah, you mean he's going to return to St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm saying there are guys who. Who are going to get that 1.5?
I think you're going to see, and I'm struggling to come up with a name in the tier just above Borowiecki, who's going to go, I don't want to be the guy left without a seat.
I don't even know what that tier is anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. The guy who might have made 1.5 who goes, I'll go for one to make sure I get something. And the guy like Borowiecki, who would have been a one, suddenly gets pushed, right? Like
Well, yeah, and that'll be the interesting thing is I think everybody's looking at it right now going, oh, 81.5. There's going to be teams who are pressed.
Well, let me make this about Toronto for a second.
Totally fine. Because
who has Freddie making $1 million this year with a $5 million cap hit. There's going to be teams, and this would depend on Toronto.
Man, for a guy his age, that's a shitty deal.
Well, but this is what Toronto does. They front load the fuck out of everything.
No, I know. I'm just thinking about Freddie right now. Making that
$1 million in cash. There will be teams, I think, that will value that. Now you need, as Toronto,
Ottawa.
Well, you need to know you can replace him, right? But Toronto signs all their guys that way. Johnsson, more cap than cash at this point, right? Cap was the same way. Kapanen, before they dealt him, was the same. All the top-end guys, if you wanted to do something huge, all loaded that way.
Yep.
Everything Toronto does pays all the cap, because players want it, right? They want all their cash up front, and Toronto wants to know later on that we can move that.
Well, and see, Toronto also had that when they had the cap room.
Yes.
And now they're in a spot where I think you'll see less of those.
I think so, too. But right now, to how many owners does that become
appealing?
Yeah. I'll take Freddie now to get to the floor. And
30.
Yeah, maybe. So I wonder what this is going to look like, right? And for people struggling who don't follow the cap, God love you, because it was way more fun to follow sports before there was a cap.
I'm not sure. It's brought a whole separate layer. But it just sucks when your team is good.
All it means is your cap hit over the entire length of the contract is $5 million a year.
Yeah.
But by the end, Toronto has paid $10 million, then $8 million, then $7 million, whatever it might be, down to $1 million in the last year.
Yeah.
The cap hit, if you traded him to, let's say, Ottawa, who's cash poor and wants to get to the floor.
And cap friendly.
they get $5 million in cap space taken up to get to that floor, but only have to pay him $1
million. Helps with the compliance.
Yes. Looking at you, Bobby Ryan.
Yeah. Looking for an extension.
So
we are coming your way.
Those are going to be the types of things that I wonder. Toronto got, they screwed themselves, if you want to look at it that way, in terms of expecting the cap going up, 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 and then it falls off a cliff here because of what's happened. I wonder if they can't make deals for my $5 million cap hit with $1 million cash for your $5 million cap hit, $9 million cash. Like these sorts of...
How many of those are there out there?
Well, ask Arizona, because they're desperate right now for... Schmaltz is a $4.7 million cap hit and $8 million this year. They have no picks in the first three rounds this year and no first round next year, and they missed paying bonuses to everybody. That's also the team that you think Austin Matthews is leaving for in just 2 or 3 years now. So it's, to me, those are deals that Toronto is going to sniff around. It's going to be fascinating, man.
Well, and that is Austin Matthews leaving aside, because we'll wait and we'll see what's happening there, because that team is...
He may leave. He's not leaving for Arizona.
Yeah, okay, but since that idea has been floated...
The world has changed a
little. Yes, by more than just me, shit has slid sideways.
You're the only one in this room.
And I look at it and go, yeah, and you've been hearing a lot about it because...
They missed paying bonuses.
The idea that, so certainly in this market here, Pierre Maguire, who I hear every day on the radio.
Yes.
Interviewed.
He was going to be GM.
And has stepped away from that.
Is that how he's framing it?
No, it's not how he's framing it. Okay. He's not touching.
I'd heard he was no longer in consideration.
He was asked twice directly, and he essentially didn't answer either time.
Right.
Now, what they're phrasing it as was he's no longer in consideration, yeah, either due to his own, and this is not him saying this. This is, or the team's. It's left to be. But to me, do you want that job? I don't want that job.
John Chyka, I talked about before. What a dick.
Yeah.
Came in, pissed everybody off, fucked up a team, and went, oof, I'm out of here. Like, what a mess.
Oh, I'm losing all my picks. Oh, see you. Good luck.
Like I said, man, nothing in the top three this year and no first round next year. If you're Taylor Hall, you're out.
Well, guess what? You're out anyways, because you're not paying that right guy whatever he's... And I don't know what that guy's worth. So
I don't know what anybody's worth right now.
Well,
if you gave Petrangelo 7 or 11, I'd go, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No. Petrangelo strikes me as a...
8.5.
8.5, 9 guy. That's
sure.
It. Yep. For sure. It's interesting times, for sure. Nobody has any idea what's going to go on there.
The other hockey one I think we wanted to cover was a story that came out kind of over the weekend. I know it had been making the rounds a little bit in places more connected than here. Yannick Duplessis. Duplessis. I'm calling him Duplessis.
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 Yannick Duplessis.
17-year-old kid in the QMJHL.
Drummondville Volt d'Azur's.
Which is English for, French for?
Electric Company.
Awesome.
I don't, that's, yeah, it's got something to do with a...
Voltage?
Yeah, no, but like...
Like the bolts?
Oh, sorry, man, I'm waving my hands. Hitting microphones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember asking a French guy...
Monsieur Caron?
No, Monsieur Houle.
Oh. I would have went to Monsieur Caron.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He was my go-to for the Arfang. What's an Arfang?
Well, and your brother always talks, well, what is Arfang?
Well, it's like a snowy owl.
Oh. Sajibu?
The Beauport Arfang.
Your brother always used to tell me that he and our friend Mr. Caron had an ongoing contest on French words into English that your brother didn't understand, or English words into French that he didn't understand.
Oh, yeah.
And the key was always pornography.
Yeah.
And he would ask, like, what's pornography? Like, what is pornography? And, like, you know, and pornography.
Honestly.
Like, it's the same fucking word.
Yeah. We're on a trip to Budapest.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this, and we're like, pornography. And he's like, what's pornography?
Qu'est-ce que c'est pornography?
You know, films of people having sex, pictures of people, nude people. And he's like, oh, pornography. You're like, are you fucking kidding
Make
me?
Make the leap, man.
So I'm there. And on the same trip, honestly, on the same trip, the word succulent comes up. And you're like, succulent?
Yeah.
What the hell does succulent mean? You know, when something is like a piece of meat is super juicy or tasty, or, oh, you mean succulent. I'm like, are you
Come
fucking
with me.
Help me. Help you. Like, if you were to say to me in French, you know, it's so good. It's succulent. What's the word? Succulent? Like, it's just...
I can make that leap, man. I can come with you.
The francophones, the francophones don't always
après dîner. Like after, I'm with you. I got it, man.
Yeah. So and I finish off. Jeff was gonna say he was like leading 99-1.
Yes.
Yeah. That to me is spot on. Any of those who
he says that's the only one.
Yeah. Any of those of us who live very close to the Quebec border, we fully understand.
As we circle back to Yannick Duplessis.
Duplessis.
17-year-old kid drafted by the Drummondville Voltigeur. He's come out, said he's gay. And you'd love it if that wasn't a very big deal. But in the world of professional sport, I guess he's technically still amateur. Man, at 17 years old, most people... I was still worried about making sure I liked the same band as my friends, right? Or same style of jeans or to come out and separate yourself as that different in a world as fucked up as pro sports, where you know the things that gets, and it's great, the things that are being said online, the extra attention that's being drawn to all these things. But the first time somebody gets hit on the ice, and somebody gets called whatever, right? Which gets dropped like...
You fucking homo.
Right. All the time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine at 17... And he flat out said multiple times in multiple interviews, he has made it public so that hopefully it will help other people. At 17 goddamn years old, man. I can't imagine.
It's huge, huge stones.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, it couldn't come at a more timely fashion, right? With the whole it's Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, this idea of people, of the humanizing of terms,
right,
and verbiage that we use, right? And so to me, it's a great time to have this conversation when everything is on the table and people are, to me, in a more receptive and understanding mind frame.
I agree with you.
But at
17.
No, that's why I let it off with.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's huge. And I think the more we talk about these things, and it's funny because I have a younger brother,
mm-hmm,
who is a homosexual man.
The second member of a terrific band.
Yeah.
Simple of the Dog.
Simple of the Dog. Yeah. Who came out at 18. So, but he came out to friends and family. He isn't a highly thought of prospect,
right,
which is what Yannick Duplessis is.
Yeah, he's not on the radio telling people. I'm not trying to diminish.
No. And where I'm going with this is the more you can have this conversation, and I think about Scott coming out to me at 18, and me having the understanding at the end of the day. He's such a great guy.
Yeah.
And to me, he's just him. He's the same guy I shared rooms with growing up, and he's just Scott.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he is so.
Well, I've only met him a few times, right? But
he's the best.
Well, and you said a bunch of times before I met him, like, your favorite person or one of the favorite.
For sure.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, it's your brother. But fuck, he's fun, man, right?
Yeah,
like, he's just an easy guy to talk to. He's just.
Yep.
Have a good time and make fun of it. And
rip some beers.
Yeah. Simple of the dog, man.
Yeah, like, sing at the top of your lungs, whatever. Got more beers coming? Because he's got that, like his brothers in common, right?
Yes, for sure.
He's okay. We have more beers? More beers.
Right.
Let's do it. All I'm saying is for me, at that point, I'm like, okay, he's still just Scott.
Right.
To me, whatever his sexual preference is, he's still the same person. And so the more people can have that conversation,
yeah,
and it humanizes it, it becomes less of an issue, really is what I'm saying. And they talk about it in the article. Somebody else was McGillis.
Brock McGillis.
Who was talking about it, saying, yeah, if people are allowed to attach something to somebody and go, ah, yeah, there's a real human there attached to that issue.
Yeah.
And I remember, again, after Scott came out, and maybe it's within the year afterwards, we're watching something and I'm like, that's so fucking gay. We're watching something on TV. And what do I mean by that? When I say that, it's not a sexual preference.
It means it sucks.
It sucks. Or it's lame.
Yep.
And it's whatever it is. And so it's something that I have taken and society has taken to be something other than what it is, right?
Right.
It's weak, it's lame, it's soft.
Yeah, it's diminishing.
It's exactly. And so when you attach that to somebody, you go, oh, that's not really what I meant. And
right.
Now I have to move away from it. And it challenges me to use different words, man, to use my big boy vocabulary, to not just to throw those things. And so to me, what Yannick Duplessis has done is hopefully further push that ball down the field that is humanizing the issue.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I sort of look at it, if you look around the four major North American sports, right, the NHL, NFL, NBA, and MLB, you're an absolute idiot if you believe nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
If there's not 2 in 10.
Right. Is gay in any of those.
Right.
You're a moron. But there's a reason no one's talking about it. There's a reason that
people aren't coming out until they've already won their gold medal.
Right.
Or they've already
finished
their career. Yeah.
Maybe.
I look at the guy and you know what? And I can't, his name escapes me. All American linebacker who got drafted Honestly,
yeah, was going to come to the Alouettes.
Yep. Sam.
Sam is right. I was just.
Anyways, that guy who just is gone. He was an All-American.
And do we know for sure that he wasn't good enough?
No, we don't.
Right.
No,
or
we
that
don't.
He just got drummed out.
But the idea is if you are a first-round talent and an All-American, you get more opportunities.
Yeah, of course.
If you are not an out gay male athlete.
And that's the part that sticks with me the most through all of this. As we look at four major professional sports in North America, nobody's out. And here's a 17-year-old kid going, hopefully when I say this, other people will
also say it.
Or will feel more comfortable or feel less alone or feel... Because with everything you just said about, you know, that's gay as a teen, like as in high school or whatever, I don't know that there was any word thrown around more. Like that was it. And it had nothing to do with the person's sexuality, but right. You were using it to demean someone.
Yep.
And when you step back later and look and go, yeah, okay, fuck.
Yeah.
That's where we're at this point. And like I said, man, I'm not shying away from the fact that at 17 years old, even in a sort of trying to be punk rock kind of way, you're trying to fit in with the punk rock thing, even though that's separating yourself from the main. There's a group there you're trying to cling on to.
Yeah.
At 17 to go, hey, I'm a gay hockey player. Guess what I'm about to hear for the next 23 years of my career on the ice, right? Like I just can't imagine.
Yeah, but it's a different time. It's a different time.
Is it though?
I believe it is. You look at the clip.
There's going to be somebody on that.
Sure, there'll be somebody. There's somebody you just talked about out on the thing about after Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
Somebody saying, hey, can somebody, you know, sending something to Masai saying, can you send the Congolese monkey back to where he came from?
Yep.
Like this is somebody writing that at
right
the height of
yep.
more
yep.
more awareness of this whole.
So we know that exists and this kid just signed up for it.
Yep. Well, to me, that's what I said. To me, I think he is...
Man.
It's super admirable.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't damage his... If you look at hockey the way it was, anybody out there, we've talked about it before, you look at the whole Brian Trottier, Brian Bellows, YouTube that. Just Brian Bellows, Brian Trottier. And it's Trottier and Kevin Stevens, I think, on the Pittsburgh bench. In the year in 91, maybe, when Pittsburgh played Minnesota.
Yes.
And Bellows is on the ice, and he's writing the face-off is going to take place in front of the Pittsburgh bench. Yeah, and they're dropping fag on him like nobody's business,
yeah.
Right? You're a fag. Go suck a cock, you fag, Bellows.
Right.
Like they're just dropping. And so to me, this is a time where there's not a lot of tolerance for that. You can say, hey, Bellows, you're a fucker. Hey, Bellows, you're a, you know.
Any number of.
There's a thing. Yeah. There's all kinds of things you can drop on them. You can't drop the N-word. You can't drop monkey. You can't drop.
I think you're right.
Fag.
But
I'm just saying we're moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Where it's never been. Is it still a huge leap of faith and this kid putting his chin out
there?
And
I'm sorry, man. I'm just going to say it. In the Quebec League. It's different, man.
Yep. Okay. And again, yeah. No place else are you gonna have, you know, more bananas thrown per capita than in the queue. Not that it doesn't happen elsewhere. Hello, London, Ontario.
Yep.
It happens, but to me, you're right. The queue is the place. But to me, this kid is on. Not the tip of the wave. To me, he's a little further back. This is the time, right?
I hope so, man.
I think, is it going to be hard for him? Yeah. Do I hope that this doesn't affect, you know, and we're going to see if the kid puts up 80 goals in the next 2 years.
Yep.
What happens to his draft status, right? But I think we are in 2020, in the fall of 2020, it's a new world.
I think it's easier for us outside of it than...
Oh, no, no,
the
no.
The people who are going to check him, the people who are going to share a locker room, the people who are going to draft him, the people who are...
Yeah, yeah, but I think...
I think it's easy I for me to put out on
his
Twitter.
His CBC interview and all these sorts of things, there is so much more notoriety to it that... How many times do you think it's got to take where he gets a hit and somebody
says... Michael Sam. Fuck! That was the guy's name. I kept going, Sam. The football player, it's Michael Sam.
Yep. All right.
That sucks, though, that it took that long.
All right. But we're there. Yeah. We're there. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, what Yannick Duplessis has done is
huge, man.
Is huge. And it's going to make it easier for other hockey players coming behind him. And as you said, yeah, you're a fool. To believe that in almost every hockey room, change room, that there isn't.
Yeah.
There isn't a gay athlete in there. And why do you think it is that you look at women's sports, right, and there's more out lesbian athletes? Is that because I'm going to tread lightly here.
Yeah.
Do we expect it more? You're like, oh, look at her. She's fitter.
Big and
stronger. She's athletic and she's – that we expect more of your Amelie Maresmos and –
You have a shitty haircut because long hair is annoying as an athlete, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, these are the sorts of things that you do. That's a lesbian haircut. That's an athlete's haircut because it sucks to have to run around with 3 extra pounds of hair making you sweat and whatever.
Pulling it back out of your head and your face. But I'm saying we are more, I think, am I wrong as a society?
No, you're not. But I don't have a good answer as to why. I know why. I think we're just more... is forgiving the word, tolerant the word?
Or accepting in the fact that you go, well, that's butch.
Right. Big, strong women can play sports. And gay men can't play sports.
That's not macho. So to me, it's an interesting, and you go, how many male gay athletes can you think of?
I've been trying to pin down, well, frankly, Michael Sam.
But Tewksbury?
A swimmer. There was an NBA guy who came out.
But you are looking at,
but he was already done.
Figure skaters.
Yeah.
But these are the guys you go, yeah, but they're not really manly sports.
Right. He's not a linebacker.
Right. He's not a hockey player. Right. Whatever the deal is. And so I think any of these sorts of things that continue to push the ball forward and people go, yeah, it's less of an issue.
It just sucks. The guy's got to be 17 and want to say that I'm doing this to make it easier for other people. Somebody should be making it easier for him. That's the part
but nobody has.
No.
And you are, and that's why it's nice to see. And he talked about, guys like Enrico Ciccone, right? Yep. Tough guy.
As tough as they fucking come.
For sure, right? And so these guys who are reaching out
saying, he didn't follow up there. That's a Quebec tough guy coming out and saying, you have my support, right?
Like, for sure.
Backing him up, right? And we're seeing more and more of that. That's easy to do when you're an established tough guy, done his career, whatever. When you're a 17-year-old
kid, bunch of heads.
Trying to make his way.
Yep.
I can't imagine.
And so, he's going to hear a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But I think he's prepared for that.
I hope so.
And I think what he's saying also in the article is, Matt will post that.
I will. At Talkin Audio.
Is
on Twitter, facebook.com/talkinaudio.
is that, what happens is as a closeted homosexual male, the things you were exposed to of people like Matt and I who say crazy shit that are hurtful because we don't know. And he says it, right? We talked about it in the past on shows where we talk about race. And I say things like, yeah, I've dropped the N-word a bunch of times in my life. Not to a black person, because I know it's hurtful and wrong.
Right.
And that's what he's saying is, in the change room, I hear it because people don't know that I'm gay. So they say these things, but I know they wouldn't say it if they knew I was gay.
Right.
And so that's the thing, right? It's
the whole point.
Is the understanding of and the education of, well, if you know it's wrong, don't do
Stop
it.
Stop fucking saying
Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a place where, in the sports world, we got a long way to go, man. It's
just the sports world.
Well, that's the world we're covering right now.
It is. It is.
Like I said, don't shy away from the fact that in high school, I can't tell you the last time I've heard any of my contemporaries say it or have it said to me.
Yeah.
That. So I think there's growth. Is that because society is growing or is that because I'm not 17 anymore?
No.
Probably both. Probably a little bit of both.
It is a little bit. And you're right. And I was telling you before we talked about this, watching any of those classic John Hughes movies, right? Mm-hmm. 16 Candles, yeah. Weird Science, Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The term faggot dropped a ton in those mid-80s movies, right?
Yeah.
And you sort of, it's jarring.
Now.
To look back on it and go, and listen to it now, and you're like, ooh.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. And so, where we've moved in the last 35 years from stuff that was mainstream and totally accepted as.
Well, and I can remember even as a kid, before I understood why it was a problem, I think it's the Peter Pan movie or whatever they're calling the engines, or maybe it's a.
Yeah, that's Peter Pan. It's also Tom Sawyer.
And at the time, as a kid, my parents in the background go, oh, like shuddering, right? Like, that's not okay anymore. I don't, as a kid, understand why this, but someone behind me is going,
Engine Joe.
Holy fuck, that's not okay.
But they're dropping holy fuck on it.
Well, I may have.
I know.
But here I am now in 2020 going, half of the stuff that was said.
Yeah.
Even watching something as harmless as Friends and the insinuation, from 94 to 04 is when that show ran, and Joey, like, hard running away from any suggestion he might be gay, right? And they don't use those words. They don't be like, okay, that's a negative, right? Yeah. Like, being gay is the less.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. It's the lesser of.
Yep.
Man, it's wild, so. I can't believe this kid had the stones to do it.
Huge stones. Huge.
He's got support here for sure. We will follow up. We'll see where he ends up, how he does throughout his QMJHL career and where he ends up getting drafted. But, man, at 17 years old, I was just looking for the same Pennywise t-shirt that my buddies had.
Bro him.
Yeah, man. Good call. I'm not looking to stand out. I don't want to stand out for liking a different band, let alone.
Yeah.
What this kid did. So I think that's it, man.
It's a good place to end.
Yeah. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. If you haven't had a chance yet, make sure you check out the all new TallCanAudio.com.
Do it.
He's on Twitter at Captain Blowhard. You people are letting us down a little bit. Rob needs some more followers, so make sure you get on that.
We're not. I'm
He's fairly indifferent.
I'm dabbling. I like to get on there. And
he really just gets on to rip Maddie. That's all that happens.
Hey, Maddie, good guy. Good guy.
We'll wind this one down there. That is Tall Can Audio for another week, and we will catch you all on the next one.
See ya.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.